Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, welcome to the Standing Between the Living and the Dead service number 2, a memorial prayer, devotional, and evangelistic service all in one. We do a lot in this service. That's why, pardon me, we had to split the service into 2. We just finished part 1, and now we're in part 2. In keeping with our emphasis on prayer and reading the Bible during this time especially, but all of the time, and having personal devotions and family devotions, Brother Lawrence said, "There is no sweeter manner of living in the world than continuous communion with God." And you will probably not have continuous communion with God if you don't start off with God in the morning. If you don't pray to God and read the Bible from God in the morning with whoever is in your household, legitimately. And we're not talking about shacking up situations. God's not going to hear your prayers in that situation. You must first repent of the evil that you're doing in His sight. And always remember, all of our sin is done in His sight. And we primarily sin against Him. And He does not like it. And so, with that, may I strongly encourage you, again, have personal devotions, even if you're married and in the family, before you go to the family devotions. You should have had some kind of devotions yourself. Not only that, once the family has devotions, that's when you go to church. After that, or even on a Sunday morning, Wednesday, you make sure you have family church first, and then you go to the larger church. That's how it's supposed to work. If you're not praying at home and reading the Bible at home and expecting the pastor to raise you from the dead within 1 hour every day, and you're full of sin and evil, that's not happening. You might get a little emotional, quick, a little high. That's going to go poof as soon as you get in the car. But that meaneth nothing. So let's pray. Holy Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, help us to pray for single Christians and for married Christians especially, and then pray for singles who don't know your Savior and families that don't know your Savior. And so, Holy Father God, first and foremost in our lives as Christians, help us to humble ourselves, help us to pray, and help us to seek your face. And help us to turn from our wicked ways, and help us to think about what this means, and help us to repent and get back to you, our first love. And Holy Father God, in our Christian family life, help us to indeed pray together, but help us also to obey together so that we can stay together. And Holy Father God, we pray for every single person that's lost in every married couple and family, legitimately married, Lord, that they would come to know your Savior. And Holy Father God, we pray that you would open their blinded eyes, unstop their deaf ears, and save their souls. Have your Holy Ghost and your Holy Word to not give them rest, your Holy Gospel not to give them rest until they come to know you as Savior. And Holy Father God, forgive us of our sins as Christians who have disobeyed your great commandment and your great commission, and for Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us of our sins and help us to repent. And Lord, to be the shining lights and witnesses that you would have us to be. Lord, help us to even hear, to pass out the gospel tracts today. And we pray that you'll bless and anoint those words and bless and anoint those pamphlets to open blinded eyes and unstop deaf ears, that others may come to know you as Savior. And Holy Father God, we pray that you would raise up laborers. Lord, if we refuse to be used by you, raise up others, laborers into the whited harvest field to reap the harvest for your glory, praise, and honor. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, let's recite or read the New Apostles' Creed. Do not say this if you don't believe this. If you're not a born-again Christian, this will not mean anything to you. So don't just say things that you don't mean. However, if you are a born-again Christian and you recite this and read this, it ought to mean something to you, and it ought to transform your life and your mindset even this morning. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He was seen alive by Mary Magdalene and the other women, the disciples, and over 500 other brethren. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, let's go back to the family verses as we are dissecting this passage using the wisdom and the knowledge of Dr. John R. Rice to help explain this passage from a biblical standpoint. And today, as we've already dealt with the wives thoroughly, we're now dealing with the husbands thoroughly. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Verse 32, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. As we pick up from where we left off yesterday with Dr. John R. Rice, former editor, founder of The Sword of the Lord, and evangelist extraordinaire, said in 1 Peter 3:7, the husband is exhorted to treat the wife with that kindness and honor Christians should show to weaker ones. Notice the words, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, that is, by the way, biblical knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Husbands, your wife is a part of yourself. You are one. So love her as you love your own body. Love her with the unselfish compassion that Christ has for his church. Husbands, do you really love your wife? Do you really want the best for her? The very best? Well, then true love is going to encourage her when she does well, and true love is going to rebuke her when she does wrong. You don't love your wife if you let your wife have her way and do what she wants to do when it's contrary to the Word of God. That is not love. Open rebuke is better than secret love all day long. And I know you think that she's going to hate you for telling her the truth, but if you truly love her and you want her to be what she should be, and you want both of you to be one as you should be, you cannot have rebelliousness and disobedience, disrespect and stubbornness in that oneness. That has to be dealt with. Pardon me. Now, the Lord can and will deal with it, but he would rather for you to deal with it. He's delegated that to you. And I have to bring this up because most women today are out of control. Prideful, stubborn, rebellious, practicing witchcraft in their home, lying, dishonesty, causing confusion and convolution, no accountability, no respect. This is the reason why we're in this plague, because the home in the church is flat out of control because of false preaching and false writing of books that people have read that have made traditions instead of focus on the Word of God. I find it very interesting that two women who have ascended to the heights in connection to the Supreme Court and law, these are women who were raised in environments where they were taught to respect their husband and to submit to their husband and to obey their husband. But yet they, on the liberal side and on the conservative side, RBG, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and now Coney Barrett, Amy Coney Barrett, will become the next Supreme Court justice. Both of them were raised in religions and in faiths that taught them to be a lady, as RBG's mother taught her before she died. She told her, "Ruth, always be a lady. You don't have to try to be a man. Always be a lady." And she said, what I mean by that is, do away with all useless emotions that don't get you anywhere, such as anger and bitterness and resentment. So while RBG did the great work she did for women in civil rights, and of course we don't agree with everything she did, we would dissent from what she even what she did, but anyway, on some things. But she did not do it in an arrogant, proud, ferocious, disrespectful manner. She did it in a ladylike manner, with a meek and quiet voice, but she was oh so very powerful. And now here comes Amy Coney Barrett, raised in a Christian church community where they emphasize the wife submitting to her husband and obeying her husband, even down to voting. You know, and yet there are some who are trying to make a big deal about that, but you know, it's not going to work. But I just want you to understand how God will raise you up if you follow His principles. You don't have to do it the world's way. And I'm saying this to all women, be ladylike. Your husband will love you tremendously. And yes, he ought to anyway. But he will love being around you if you have a ladylike spirit, a submissive spirit, a cheerful spirit, and you're willing to submit and to obey. I know you don't like it, but it's true. That standard, husbands, is so high that it should make every one of us very humble as we try to be good husbands. If the man is stronger, he should be better. If the man, not better than the woman, but this is what Dr. John R. Rice is saying, he ought to be able to do some things that she can't do. The man has more authority. He should have more responsibility. That's a given. You see, husbands, you can't enjoy the perks of leadership of the home where God put you and not be responsible for the home. Yes, your wife is there to help you and to for you to delegate things to, but ultimately you're responsible for the direction of the home, not the wife. As the salvation of a sinner and the security of his saints depends on Christ, not on us, so the Lord places more heavily on man the responsibility for a happy home. Number one, men can prevent broken homes. The man is to cleave unto his wife. Here the Savior, quoting from Genesis in Matthew chapter 19, verse 5, "For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh." Husbands are to have a pure and tender love for their wives, and a love that looks over the wife's weakness without bitterness. Without bitterness, as we covered on yesterday, without bitterness. Because this is what breaks up marriages, bitterness. On the husband's side, and what does he do? He clams up because he's bitter. He does not talk anymore. He does not communicate. Does not want to even be bothered with the woman anymore, the wife anymore. She clams up, bitter, resentful. This is to the point of not touching each other for weeks and months and other such foolishness. That is a remedy, not a remedy, but a that is a mixture for divorce. It happens all the time. It's happening even now in this plague pandemic. Husbands should love their wives as special gifts from God. Helpmeets to make them happy, joyful, cheerful. For whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Proverbs 18:22. Now the Bible talks about the wife who, in Proverbs 14:1, who is a foolish wife who plucketh down her own household. But in this next passage, it talks about a prudent wife is from the Lord. And so we must surmise that a foolish wife who is constantly trying to pluck down her household comes from the devil. And oftentimes she acts like the devil. And you, if somehow you marry that kind of wife, you're going to have to deal with that and still love her, but love her enough to tell her the truth about herself so that you all can stay together. As I have said repeatedly, the family that prays together and obeys together stays together. A husband is to, and a prudent wife is from the Lord. Proverbs 19:14. A husband is to love his wife as the mother of his children, being with him heirs together of the grace of life. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, which we covered in another series the other day. When a husband loves his wife, even as himself, and as Christ loved the church, is not bitter against her. And that's where many men are today. They are bitter against their wives. And see, bitterness leads to hatred. Hatred leads to adultery. And then all of that leads to divorce. Give her honor as the weaker vessel. And leaving father and mother cleaves unto his wife, that home will very rarely be broken. Number two, evils that follow wrong home life happiness lost. Faith gone, love fails. If your home is not right before God, be sure your sin will find you out. Nothing is truer in God's word than whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Disaster, trouble, heartache, and ruin follow the home where the wife is rebellious and the husband is a slacker. See, he has a whole book on this subject. rebellious wives, and slacker husband. That is a remedy. I keep saying remedy. That is a mixture for total divorce disaster. Because, see, if you have a rebellious wife, and many of you do, they have you manipulated so much you don't even know it. But if you can't say what you want to say to your wife without her acting foolishly, then you are a slacker husband and a shirker of your responsibility. See, you can't, sir, you cannot raise your children in an environment like that. Meaning, you can't teach your children to do right and to show respect and to be obedient if you got a proud, stubborn, rebellious, witchcraft wife on your hand and she's just running rampant, tearing down everything you're building up in your children. You've got to deal with her in a wise way. And you have to put that down. You have to stop that. Man up and don't be a slacker. And if you mean what you say, and you're not just parroting what I say or what some other preacher says or what some book says, and she senses deep down that you're coming from your heart and you mean business, she's not going to do it. She's not going to run away and leave permanently. Don't worry about that. You just worry about doing what God told you to do. But you cannot tolerate a rebellious, stubborn witch of a woman in your house, thinking that you're going to raise your children to be better than that, because she's going to try to tear down everything you build up in them. And if you have a wife, you're a pastor, you're a minister, and you are trying to win souls to Christ in the church, and you're trying to help men to do the right thing, and your wife is whorish and a flirt, you better deal with that, because she's going to tear up, the devil's going to use her to tear up everything you build up in the church. Don't be a slacker. That's an old-fashioned word for being a sorry man, a weak man, a hen-pecked man, a controlled, dominated man. In the words of Dr. Tony Evans, a neutered, domesticated man. And I would say even a manipulated man. Some of you husbands are so mastered by your wives, and they have manipulated you down to nothing. You have no authority. You have no power whatsoever to tell her anything. And the children, if the children see that, then you can't tell them anything. And she certainly can't. But you won't be able to tell them anything either. So such a home cannot be biblical, and it cannot be happy. There must be something more than temporary sex attraction. And there can be no real peace and happiness until the question of authority is settled. And I might pause here today, but I want you to emphasize. I want to emphasize that. Let me share with Dr. Rice. Said here very clearly, right there. And there can be no real peace and happiness until the question of authority is settled, and settled right. Who is in authority in this family and in this house? Is it your wife? In most cases, that's the case. That's what it is. Is it the children? In some cases, that's what it is. In most cases, the husband is not the final authority. This is why all pastors, and almost all pastors, and almost all merchants, they cater to the wife and to the children, not to the husband. He is no longer considered the one in authority in the family. That's what's wrong with the church today. And I thank God for Jonathan Kahn. I thank God for Franklin Graham and their meetings they're having this week, the return with Jonathan Kahn, the prayer march with Franklin Graham, but I have stated this and made this clear, that if we don't deal with our own sins, if we don't, and I made it very clear that praying and marching is not enough. You can't stop there. It's good to start there, but you can't stop there. We must humble ourselves. We must pray. We must seek God's face. We must turn from our wicked ways. We must repent and get back to Jesus Christ, our first love, starting in the home. You cannot have a great church and you got hell in the home. You cannot have Adam's family at home and the Brady Bunch family at the church, and the family is slapped out of control because the wife is in charge. She's been built up by lying pastors, and the children are second in charge, and the husband is in the cave that she made for him in a pink jumper with no authority, no power, and some like it that way. They like being in subjection to their wives because they don't want any responsibilities. They don't want to deal with the problems of raising their children in the way that they should. They are afraid of the attitudes not only of the wife but of the children, especially their daughters. And so they have sunk down to nothing. For a wife to have her own way does not make her happy any more than it does a rebellious child. These are the words of Dr. John R. Rice. Let me say them again. Let me say them again. Because I've been preaching this and telling this the truth for years without the knowledge of what Dr. John R. Rice is saying. He's backing up what I said, and I'm backing up what he said. I've said this in a different way for years. For a wife to have her own way and to be in authority over the man does not make her happy any more than it does a rebellious child or a lawless citizen. And I know you don't like it. And see, this is why revival won't come. This is why revival is not going to come, because you're not willing to repent in your own family. See? You say, why are you preaching if we're not going to do it? Because my job is to preach it, man, woman. I get my blessing and my satisfaction out of doing what God told me to do. I know you don't want to hear this. Not in this day and time. Everybody in America knows you don't want to hear this. Even in the church, you don't want to hear this. My own wife, who is here helping me in the ministry, does not want to hear this. But she's here listening to it. See, I don't care whether she likes it or not at all. So therefore, I don't care if your wife likes it or not. I love and respect my mother. I don't care if she likes it or not. I have many daughters. I don't care if they like it or not. And I have told them, if you're not willing to be a ladylike, virtuous woman, godly, submissive wife and mother to your husband, don't get married. Don't put that man through that hell and yourself through that hell. Because as Dr. John R. Rice just said, a woman who is able to have her way, is allowed to have her way, she's not going to be happy. She's not going to be cheerful and joyful. She's going to be just as miserable as a miserable teenager who is allowed to have his or her way. And everybody under the sound of my voice, you know exactly what I'm saying is true and what Dr. Rice is saying is true. This is, he said, another case where the wages of sin is death. Death to joy, death to happiness, death to peace, and death to all the blessings which God meant should follow marriage and a Christian home. And so, ladies and gentlemen, I have so much more to share with you today, but I'm going to cut it off at that point. Remember that, maestro, technician, true happiness. And we're going to move on down to prayer. Move on down to prayer. We're going to move on down to prayer. Move on down to prayer. And so, ladies and gentlemen, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Let's pray for people who name the name of Christ. Let's join in prayer with those who are praying in Washington, D.C. Let's pray for everybody in government. Let's pray for the salvation of every lost soul. Let's pray for the revival of every Christian. And let's pray for those people who are hurting because of the thousands of lost loved ones. And let's pray for millions of family members and friends who are hurting over the death of their loved one from the coronavirus plague. Holy Father God in heaven, grant us, Lord, your grace, your strength, your anointing, and the power of your Holy Spirit now to pray. Thank you for your eternal and holy word. And Holy Father God, help us who name the name of Christ to get back to your holy word. Lord, if we're not willing to repent in the family, then revival will not come, and we know it. So Lord, help us to humble ourselves and help us to pray. Help us to seek your face and help us to turn from our wicked ways. And help us to repent and get back to you, Lord Jesus Christ, our first love. And Holy Father God, I pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ, revive us again. And Lord, we pray now for the president and all other government officials. Lord, in this country and around the globe, we pray, Lord, for all governors, all mayors, all police chiefs, and all sheriffs and those who work under them. We pray that you would remove the racist bad apples. And Lord, we pray that you will add good men, red, yellow, black, and white, to your ministers of police officers and sheriffs. We pray for all state senators and all state representatives. We pray, Lord, for President Trump's administration and cabinet. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for all other presidents, prime ministers, and potentates and premiers around the world and their countries. And we pray for salvation and spiritual, family and life, protection and provision, financial and material blessings upon all of these people, if they're willing, Lord, and if we're all willing to humble ourselves and pray and seek your face and turn from our wicked ways and repent. And Lord, get right with you. And Holy Father God, we pray for the salvation of those who are lost in this country and around the globe and in the media. We pray for the revival of the saved in this country, around the globe, and in the media. And we pray, Holy Father God, for the healing of the sick. And Lord, we pray for the comforting, Lord, of the grieving. And Lord God in heaven, we pray for all who are being persecuted in this country, in China, in Nigeria, in Sudan, in the Philippines, and all around the world. Christians who are being persecuted, comfort them as only you can. Bless them and deliver them as only you can. And give them your grace in their trying hours and in their dying hours. God grant us your grace and your strength and your faith to pray as we should. As we pray now, Lord, for all of the grieving family members and friends in the millions around the globe who are hurting today, who their loved one may have died back in May, but they're still hurting today. They still can't believe that that person is not going to come through the door, that that person will never join them for Thanksgiving again, and so forth. And so, Lord, we pray that you will comfort them as only you can. Holy Father God, Lord Jesus, draw them to yourself, for you're the only one who has the power to do that for salvation and for healing. Draw them to your holy scriptures for salvation and for healing, and save their souls and change their lives, and help them to look to you. In the words of the songwriter and the songstress, Lord, help them to look to you. And Lord, help us all to look to you in a very real sense. And we pray for some by name, Lord, but they represent no doubt over 1 million people who have died already. And we pray, Lord, for the family and friends of Brazilian indigenous leader Aratana Yaalapati. We pray for the family and friends of Florida church member Deborah Henson. We pray for the family and friends of Argentinian Holocaust survivor David Galante. We pray for the family and friends of Mississippi wrestler James Harris. We pray for the family and friends of Texas DJ Bill Mack. We pray for the family and friends of Louisiana veteran Steve D. Pie Esler. And we pray for the family and friends of California police officer Robbie Waters. We pray for the family and friends of Louisiana Police Administrator Sharon Williams. We pray for the family and friends of New Jersey columnist Barbara Costigan. And we pray, Lord, for the family and friends of New York gallery owner James Powers and thousands upon thousands of other family members and friends, and even millions. Comfort these families as only you can, and these friends, and strengthen them as only you can. And we pray that you will save their souls and change their lives. Draw them to yourself for salvation. And now, Holy Father God, we pray for Peggy, and we pray for all others who have sent in prayer requests. Hear and answer their prayers, and hear and answer our prayers for them. And Lord, we pray also for salvation, spiritual, family and life, financial and material, food and housing and protection and provision, blessings for all of these people and the people who are suffering very badly from this coronavirus plague situation. We pray for Peggy. Please protect David from all ungodly relationships, and save Dylan, Andy, Olivia, David, and Sebastian. We pray for Spencer, Marco, and Riven as well. And Lord, we pray for Vicky. Please heal her body completely. Bless her brother Bill in a supernatural way. We pray for James. Please bless him with Bibles for the new converts. We pray for Patrick, for his niece and nephew to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior and find healing, peace, and joy and purpose in you. We pray for Kay. Please answer her prayers and have your will to be done in her life. We pray for Alan. Please strengthen the bond between him and his girlfriend. We pray for Bruschena. Please strengthen and guide her in her prayer life. Bless her financially. We pray for Shabrat. Please bless and protect them. Please provide them with education and enough money and give them the right kind of house that they need. Please save them and help them to do right. Protect them from the coronavirus plague. We pray for Roger. Please give him courage to share his faith, and please bless the work of his hands. And Holy Father God, we pray, Lord, and we commend these souls into your hands. Let your will be done in their lives and in ours. And Holy Father God, we now pray for those who have gotten saved through the preaching of the gospel, through this ministry. We pray for Brian, and we pray for Beatrice, we pray for Imram, we pray for all of the others who have gotten saved who are not on this short list today. We pray for Jerry, we pray for Des, we pray for Endo, we pray for Linda, we pray for Shema, and we pray for everybody who has gotten saved through this ministry and who has rededicated their life through this ministry. Help them all to grow in the faith and be the Christians that you want them to be. We pray specifically for Mung, we pray for Sam, we pray for Yak, we pray for Cher, we pray for Hip, we pray for Mag, we pray for Bill. We commit these souls into your hands. Let your will be done in their lives and in ours as well. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, our devotional reading today is titled Coming to Jesus by Oswald Chambers. He goes on to say, isn't it humiliating to be told that we must come to Jesus? Think of the things about which we will not come to Jesus Christ. If you want to know how real you are, test yourself by these words, come to me. In every dimension in which you are not real, you will argue or evade the issue altogether. Rather than come, you will go through sorrow. Rather than come, and you will do everything, you will do anything rather than come the last lap of the race and say, just as I am, I come. As long as you have even the least bit of spiritual disrespect, it will always, always reveal itself in the fact that you are expecting God to tell you to do something very big, and yet all he is telling you to do is to come. Come, come to me. When you hear those words, you will know that something must happen in you before you can come. The Holy Spirit will show you what you have to do, and it will involve anything that will uproot whatever is preventing you from getting through to Jesus. And you will never get any further until you are willing to do that very thing. The Holy Spirit will search out that one immovable stronghold within you, but he cannot budge it unless you are willing to let him do so. Come to Jesus. Come to the Lord. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, help your people to return, in the words of Jonathan Cahn, to you. Help us to humble ourselves and to pray, and to seek your face and to turn from our wicked ways, and to repent and get back to you, our first love, as your people. And then for those, Lord, especially who don't know you as Savior, help them to come to you for salvation. Help them to understand your holy salvation as I preach it to them. And Lord, I pray, like Brian the other day, help these to come to know you as Savior. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are with us today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior in the free pardon of your sins, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in Him for your soul's salvation from the power of sin and the punishment of sin in that awful place called hell. Because hell is real, whether you realize it or not. First, accept the fact, dear friend, that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law. The Holy Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. There is a punishment for sin. The Holy Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." We die physically because of sin. We die physically because of sin. Our bodies go to a grave. Our soul goes to hell if we have never believed in Jesus Christ and repented of our sins in this life. So thirdly, dear friend, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than anybody in the Bible. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than he did about heaven. Jesus Christ described hell as a place where the worm, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Jesus Christ described hell as a place of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth in pain. He told the true story about the rich man who went to hell. As soon as he died, he lifted up his eyes in hell. This is where you're going if you don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ today. Jesus Christ was so earnest and so serious about this matter of hell and you're not going to hell. He said these words in Matthew 18:8. "Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off." In other words, if your hand leads you to do evil in God's sight, touch a woman or a man that you're not married to, your feet lead you to ungodly places and to wrong houses, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. Also, the Bible states in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable include people who they sin beyond the pale, sin beyond what some would say is normal sin. These are the homosexuals, the lesbians, men with men, women with women. These are men and women who lust after little children or underage children. These are they who look at little infants on pornography sites, the abominable. These are they who commit incest, mothers who wickedly have sex with their sons, fathers who wickedly have sex with their daughters. This includes stepdaughters, the abominable. Brothers who have sex with their sisters. Sisters who have sex with their brothers. Incest. That's beyond the pale. This happened the other day, by the way, in the Amish community. Incest. And yes, they should go to jail for raping their sister. And what will happen in jail, as they were told, they would be destroyed for doing such evil. These are they who try to have sex with animals, with dogs and cats and horses. The abominable. See, you're even disgusted. And you're a sinner too. You're an unbeliever. And whoremongers includes men who are whoremongers, women who are whores, having sex with every Tom, Dick, and Harry, Jane, Betty, and Laura. Whoremongers. You say, what would happen to these people? Well, they're going to hell. The people who are not believers, people who are too afraid to get saved because they're worried about political correctness, their family members and friends. I know you feel uncomfortable, but it's high time that you feel uncomfortable again. You wicked, evil adulterers and adulteresses. You liars and you cheats. You whoremongers and you whores. You homosexuals and lesbians and transvestites. Trying to turn God's world upside down on his head. These are going to the lake of fire. That's why I'm mentioning them to you. Murderers and sorcerers. People who practice witchcraft and voodoo and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Somebody needs to tell you where you're going if you don't trust Christ as Savior and repent. You say, well, you're not going to scare me. Scare you where? Scare you to hell number one, hell number two, or hell number three? Scare you where, man? This is where you're going if you don't repent and trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. And that's love too. It's love for me to tell you this. Go ahead on with your bad self if that's what you want to do. But I would encourage you to humble yourself down and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ so that you can get your soul saved from hell. the lake of fire. For hell and the lake of fire is bad news, my dear friend. But here's the good news. You don't have to go to hell or the lake of fire. It's up to you, however. All you have to do is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is good news. It's called the gospel. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." It's very simple. Just believe in the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. And that's none other than Jesus Christ. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, dear friend. He died for your sins, was buried and rose from the dead by the power of God. He suffered, he bled, and he died for you on the cross and for me to save our ungodly souls from that awful place called hell. He was buried and rose on the third day. And dear friend, all you have to do is believe in him. You don't have to be in a church, and all wise people are not meeting at a church right now. You don't have to be a member of a church. You don't have to shake a preacher's hand. You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to walk down an aisle or the sawdust trail. You don't have to get baptized. You don't have to speak in tongues. You don't have to run around the church like you see on television or shout, as they say. All you have to do is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, was buried and rose again, and called on his name. For Romans chapter 10 verse 9 and 13 says it very clearly for you again, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, that's what God wants you to do, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's it. That's all it takes. With your sincere heart, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and call on his name and pray and ask him to save you, and ask him to come into your heart, and he will do it. You do the believing part in your heart right now. I cannot do that for you, no matter what I say or do. But I can help you with the sinner's prayer. Follow me in the sinner's prayer, phrase by phrase. I will wait on you, believing in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. And let's pray and seal the deal. Follow me in prayer right now. Holy Father God, I pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know I deserve to go to hell like a criminal deserves to go to jail. But I am praying that today, because of your holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, and his resurrection, I'm asking you today, Holy Father God, to please forgive me of all of my sins, as I now believe with all of my heart in your Holy Son, Jesus Christ. And I believe in my heart that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. Lord Jesus, I invite you into my heart to save my soul. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to truly repent of all of my sins and help me to turn from my evil lifestyle. and to follow you in the new life, Lord Jesus. For it is in your name I do pray. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day, allow me to say congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ Jesus, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my book titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. If you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email us at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer.